Yeah.
What season?
What a season.
Yeah.
Great season.
Fucking shocking season. Well, it's an okay season, I guess.
No, he said it now.
He said it. Shocking. That's the end of the podcast.
It's still shocking, don't get me wrong. It's still shocking.
Where to start with the games? Shall we just dive straight into games?
Do you need to?
Right.
Do you
want to
make
a dozen trees
or anything?
Oh, yeah, no, we could start with, there was a big game Saturday afternoon.
Oh, my God. No. This is not, we're not introducing this shit.
Mitchell, calm down.
I'm not happy with this bollocks.
You are so sexist.
Work because there's no terrible bollocks.
So sexist. You're so
That's
sexist.
Got nothing to do with it. We are
not so sure.
Commenting on the men's league.
There's nothing to suggest that.
There's everything to suggest that. The West Ham even have a women's team.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Then you go and beat
Spurs? Yeah, they do, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
All right, well, let's start with... Who shall we start with? Chelsea, because I was actually playing for something, I guess. Chelsea Forest.
Yeah.
Bit of a shit game, wasn't it?
No. It was a very well-managed game. That was a good tactical... I almost want to say masterclass, but you'll all mock me. I'm going to have to go from memory here because I was very distracted at the time. I don't have many notes. but I do remember it seemed a bit of a nervy start, particularly opening 20. We were on the back foot a bit. And then we warmed into it. We turned up. And, of course, he's played Reece James at right back again. Come on. It's made me very happy. Made me a lot calmer. And we warmed into the match. Palmer started turning up. Madueke started turning up. Neto was turning up. We were firing balls into the box. And one of which Neto, oh, he should
volley,
have
right.
buried. Yeah, yeah. He was watching fucking Fernandez from last week and he's done the same thing. But then fucking Chris Wood pretty much carbon copy does the same thing at the other end. He should have scored and he's missed it. Thank God he weren't firing yesterday because he had a few chances that he probably should have put away or would have put away any other time. But then, start of the second half, we with the same sort of play, the whipping the balls in across the box, we make something happen. And I'm pretty sure Neto was taking a shot when it whips across the box. But Cole Will of all people, was there to tap it in. And the minute that happens...
Who?
Levi Colwill. What do you mean, who? Come on.
I don't follow Chelsea, do I?
Oh, he's in the English team.
Oh, sorry, I forgot he's the only English player you've got.
We've got six English players in the England squad. That's more than anyone. We're also the youngest squad, so...
Oh, shut up.
Do you know our oldest player? Anyone want to guess?
Probably some keyboardist in, like, somewhere.
No, he was playing yesterday.
Santo...
No, it was Adebayo.
Belief.
And he is 27. Chelsea's oldest player. The
and
senior.
That's our youngest player.
that doesn't surprise me. Our average age is 23. So we get the goal pretty early on in the start of the second half. And then I'm expecting us to get a bit nervy and I don't think we did. I think we handled the game really well. I think he got to about the 60th minute and he starts making changes. He took off Sancho for Lavia. Not a problem with that whatsoever because Sancho was fucking dog shit. So now he's just shoring everything up. And then he brought on what's his face? Gusto and Dewsbury Hall for Neto and Madueke. He just shutting up shop there. And it worked. And he did it. He controlled the game to the end. We got that 1-0 lead, which I think has been our last three results. Gets the 1-0 lead, shuts up shop, kills the crowd. And except for a tiny little chance from Chris Wood near the end, we controlled the game. And I'm not even sure it would have mattered if they did score, because fucking Newcastle and Villa are both dog shit, apparently. So a draw probably would have done us.
Shall we talk about how bad the refereeing was in the Villa game?
I've seen it now as well. The how is that not a goal?
Shocker. Absolute shocker. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered for Chelsea, right? You still would have finished winning. It would have knocked Newcastle out.
Which I'm more than happy with.
Yeah, I think I would have been as well.
I'll choose Villa over Newcastle. Yeah, that's filth. That's the difference of a Wednesday night and a Thursday night. Millions of pounds. That's cost them.
It's fucking ridiculous. It made me angry, and I'm not even a Villa fan. And you can understand why. I thought Emery was quite composed after the game. Yeah,
snap.
He has to be. I think he has to be, just because of... Well, look how many times we see managers come out and moan about the referees, VAR and stuff. You know, they're getting fined, the club, whatever, and it just doesn't look well, even though they're correct. But yeah, it was good that he said that. I think never appealed for it, I saw this morning.
They can't
change the result.
Exactly, you know? That. Well, start again and have the red card still.
I mean, the red card was fair. That was a good decision. Yeah. He's absolutely got no chance.
Clotheslined him.
What was he doing?
I don't know. Just concede the goal, if anything. And it's not like it's a world class striker either. The guy very rarely scores goals. No idea.
It's the story of VAR season. We've talked about it many times. It's just fucking shit.
I don't understand why it's so difficult, though. Because like we were saying yesterday, we can all see it in the pub on our mobile phones.
It's because he made the fucking decision before. That's where the problem is.
If it went
to VAR, then it would have... they definitely would have given that as a goal. Just let the play go on.
Let's not say definitely, because VAR has been shit all season. But yeah, because he blew. What a goal that was. The Brighton fourth.
Ooh. Yeah, it was. It was great.
that was a great finish.
Gomez, wasn't it?
It was over by then.
Yeah, so what? Because Brighton still had something to play for, right? Because eighth gets you conference.
Yeah, if you win the conference, I think eighth.
But Brentford, did Brentford win? Is that why they didn't?
So Brighton had, but I think Brighton only needed to get a point, but Brentford had to win away, so I think Brighton had to get something out of the game, but we'll come to that shortly. Hey Luke, hey.
No. Hey. Everyone knows the outcome of this one, they don't need me to talk about it.
Continue with Chelsea, Mitch.
That was pretty much the end of it. I was quite happy with Maresca. I like how he's handled the final quarter of this season, because he was getting quite a bit of pressure on him, and probably rightly so at certain points. There were moments when I was starting to question him as well, but he has turned it around. And even after losing Jackson again for these last three games, he's handled it very well. He's handled the squad very well. And he's finally started fucking playing Reece James. And he shut up shop in this game. He done exactly what he needed to do at a tough away game. A game that we, before the start of the day, we needed to win. And he's done that.
Do you reckon, Mitchell, it was sort of... Now, I'm just putting things out there, yeah? Do you reckon it was tactical genius of him not to play Reece James at right back? Think. Let me finish here. I know. Wait. Let me think here for a second. Let me come across these as people think. What the fuck is he talking? Let him cook.
You just know this is going to be terrible.
Well, no. Every time Reece James has come back from injury, he's gone back into right back, hasn't he? Yeah. And the position of right back is up and down that wing. Teams play those fullbacks, wing backs, whatever you want to call them, up and down that fucking field. Yeah. It's quite a lot to do for someone who's just come back from injury. And every time he's come back, he's normally got injured again after a few games. He's played him in like different positions in the midfield, even pushing up a bit up top. Do you reckon it's more like getting him match fitness and getting him sharp again? Because you stick him at right back, he's up against wingers and he's not match fit, like properly match fit, and not been able to sustain, you know, the full game. But now that he's played there, but you know, why all of a sudden now back at right back? Like, have you picked up an injury at right back?
No.
Or
no.
Is it your reckon? Is, I mean, I'm only
he's
saying
been
that thinking
to this
from
this podcast.
What's that?
He's oh yeah, to this podcast, and he thought this Mitchell. No. He's got a point.
Spend me no, that idea. Have a good idea.
Yeah, but. I mean, I don't follow Chelsea. I don't follow Chelsea. I don't know, but I mean, how many times have we seen Reece James get injured? And everyone talks about how good he is. Even when you look at listen to other football players, they say he's like an all-round defender. Like he's able to do everything. He's got pace, he's got hitting, finishing, crossing. He's got it all, but he can't stay fit. Do you reckon Maresca saw that and was like, oh, you know what? Stick him in midfield. Yeah. Let him just hover about a bit. Last few minutes of the game, 20 minutes, 30 minutes here. And then back to right back.
No, I don't think so. Because yeah, no? you're still, if anything, you've probably got more of a risk of getting injured in defensive mid because you're the one clumping in all the tackles.
Yeah, but you're not covering constant, as much ground.
Constant playing on the turn as well, though.
Yeah. I don't think that plays part. I said it before on the podcast. I don't think the Tuchel comments helped. I do think there's a bit of... you know, you don't want another manager to tell you how to manage your player, especially to a fiery Italian. They're not going to take too kindly to that. And so there was probably a bit of stubbornness there. And he's obviously thought, I prefer Gusto for whatever reason. Gusto's not a bad player. But like you just said, Reece James is all around. He can do a bit of fucking everything. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he just hadn't seen it because of the injuries that have been ongoing for so long. But I do think he was starting to get a bit of pressure from the Chelsea fans as well. And then the couple of times when he did decide to play in there, it's worked. And the thing is, Gusto did get injured a few weeks ago. I mean, obviously he's back for the last couple of games, but he got injured and he started playing Caicedo at right back. And I think that's when the grumblings were really starting to happen. It's like, why? Caicedo's probably been Chelsea's best player this season. Don't move him from his best position to right back. He's not a right back. He cannot play that right back position. Why would you, if Gusto gets injured, why would you not play Reece James at right back? Why would you try and play Reece James in Caicedo's position and Caicedo in Reece James' position? It just didn't make sense. But yeah, he succumbed to that pressure and he started playing him full 90 minutes at right back. And he made a difference. I mean, look at like last week with that turn and cross,
yeah,
to get that vital 1-0 against United. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I like I said, I think the Tuchel comments probably didn't help, but he's succumbed to it now, and I think he understands now. A fit Reece James, his best position is right back. You're not going to get anyone better in the Chelsea squad.
Not so he's going to get obviously called up to England, get injured, and you won't see him again.
Probably.
touching on the England there, Mitch, you mentioned obviously six players called up to England. Yeah. What do you reckon of the Madueke and Bowen, like Bowen not going?
Madueke. Did Bowen not get called up?
No. I think it's a joke. I think that guy, I don't know what he needs to do, to be fair, other than leave West Ham. But I just don't know what he can do to get in the England squad.
A big team, I guess.
I think that's it, isn't it?
No, surely not, because he is literally, I mean, we see it yesterday, and obviously we'll talk about it in a bit, but like he literally wins games for us. Like he set up and scored yesterday. Like I don't really, I don't know what he has to do. I think he should at least be in the squad. I'm not saying that he should be in the first team constantly, but he should definitely be in the squad. And every time he's played for England, he's looked good.
Yeah.
So,
Not being in the squad, I don't necessarily agree with. But then, like, West Ham have not had a good season.
It's not that bad now. I mean, we finished 14th. Finished bad Man United.
Sorry, what?
You had a drink already, Bob. It's a bit early, mate.
I think I'm still suffering from yesterday.
You went full Geordie then, Jesus.
My young man. We finished above Man United and Spurs. How weird is it, by the way? Sorry, just going on a little bit of a tangent.
No,
just to see that little Champions League spot just above 18th.
I know.
So weird. Just so in the league table.
Relegation. Champions League. It's fucking outrageous. No, I don't know. I like Bo, so it's tough for me to comment on. But Madueke has had a very good season. And I do believe.
Very good. Really? Ooh, very good?
Yeah.
Goals and assists? What's he on?
I'd have to
64 goals.
64 goals.
I'm kidding. Oh, he's talking about your best player.
He's, yeah, but that's the thing, right? Everyone would say, like, Palmer is the best player, but Madueke is probably equal Palmer during the second half of this season. Obviously,
I mean, I've liked
Palmer's
him.
Not been his best.
I've liked Madueke.
You've said three players now. Casado, Cole Palmer, now Madueke.
No, no, no.
I mean, the team's just become amazing.
Casado is Chelsea's best player this season. That's undisputable.
So Madueke, yeah?
Yeah.
But he's had 32 appearances in the Premier League, 7 goals and 3 assists.
What about Bowen?
Is that a very good season?
Yeah, that's no, not, because it's not just that, because it's the chances he's created. This is the other thing.
Well,
right?
Yeah, so, he's only created 3.
No. He's had 3
assists. I know
assists.
What you're talking about.
Because this was the problem. This is where stats sometimes can lie to you, right? So in that Christmas period onwards...
Get Bowen's up, Bob, as well.
Yeah, get Bowen's up, Bob, yeah.
Okay, only if it's better. I won't be a second.
Yeah, so that dodgy period between Christmas and up till like a couple of months ago, Madueke stayed strong and he set Palmer up so many times. And you saw Palmer's bad spell where he's just fucking, his shot went right, he's hitting the post, he's hitting the bar, whatever else, or he's straight at the keeper. This was Chelsea's problem. A lot of shots were straight at the keeper. But Madueke was creating a lot of chances. And that's why I think, I was going to say, I do think as well, Tuchel might have a bit of Chelsea bias in him. I think he still has
six
a soft
players.
Spot.
So, who have we got? Obviously, Cole Palmer, Madueke. Who else is in there from Chelsea?
Cole Will.
Casado can't Kai play Sado? For England.
No. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of sales. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the best players, sorry, not for England.
Yeah, Cole Will.
James.
Who have we got there? That's 4 or 5.
Chalobah. Is he still Chalobah?
Yeah.
Right, so Bowen. Yeah. 34 Premier League appearances, 13 goals, 10 assists.
Yeah, Bowen's better.
Yeah.
Ah, that's light, mate.
And at a club that's doing, you know, a lot worse than Chelsea.
Yeah. Was it full length?
Shit with them.
I mean, Jordan Henderson's in the team again somehow as well.
Honestly, I fuck knows what's going on.
That's not playing metal hockey, I guess.
Does he have like dirt on England or something? Like on the managers, do you reckon he's like got a private investigator and then just send it to him and like, look, mate, I'll see you with
just
this.
Just on the FA.
Or the FA, yeah.
So turn around to the manager and say, you have to pick Henderson. Why? You just have to.
Yeah. Don't question it.
Yeah. Wow.
And Curtis Jones being in it as well. Like, really?
Yeah. Weird.
Fair enough.
I don't know why Byron's not in the squad. That seems a bit silly.
So, in terms of Chelsea, Mitch, well, what do you want to see coming in the summer?
A striker. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the number one thing. I think as the season's gone on, our defence has shored itself up. I think we've got our main two to
your
three
best
now.
Four now.
Yeah. Cole Will has been brilliant in the second half of the season. And as much as everyone hates Cucurella, he's been a brilliant left back for us. James, if he stays fit at right back, even if he doesn't, we've got Gusto now. Caicedo, if Enzo goes, there's not Maresca, Enzo Fernandez, if he goes, because there were murmurings, we've got Lavia. We've got Lavia and Caicedo. The left wing position is maybe something that he's looking at.
Screaming.
Yeah. Yes, but again, fuck me. Who are you going to chuck the money at? I mean, Sanchez, he's not had a terrible last few weeks.
So I can two off the top of my head. One that looks like he's leaving, Emi Martinez, Villa. Aaron Ramsdale, Sunderland.
Oh, I just want to get relegated.
Yeah, I did think that.
Two potentials.
Get Kepa back.
Oh, God. What a foul.
He's had a good season. He's had a good season at Bournemouth.
I think we just want him to get his price tag up a bit.
Flapianski on a free?
No way.
He's left, isn't he? He's done. He's gone.
He wouldn't do that to us. He wouldn't go to Chelsea.
We'll get Ivan Toney back from the Saudi League.
Thomas Tuchel will turn around saying, go to Chelsea.
That'd be nice. I think that's it. Yeah, the striker, like you say, probably a keeper, and something maybe on the left wing. But apart from that, I'm happy with all the other positions.
Because you're going to send Sancho back to United. You're not going to make that.
Yeah, he's not been great.
He's like your Raheem Sterling. Oh, who's also yours, so you can have him back.
You keep him, mate. That's all right. He's done your job. He's got your second.
I mean, he's had very little to play in that job.
Yeah.
Even when Sack was injured, he didn't get much game time. So
he's so fucking shit, Sterling. I hope we don't keep him.
I mean, the only place for him to go is the Saudi or American League.
Well, good luck to him.
Anyone else want to say anything about Chelsky?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know I've been quite critical of Chelsea, mainly because I don't like them. But yesterday, I do actually think they played quite well. I think defensively, you've looked so much better the tail end of the season. You haven't been scoring as many goals, but you definitely look a little bit more defensively sound, if you know what
I mean. Yeah, and I think that is all credit to Maresca. He's got them working how he wants. Because like you say, it's the goals we are struggling with. But the defence has shored itself up for this last part of the season, which is vital. Because before the season started, I said no to top four. It just weren't going to happen. So as far as I'm concerned, Chelsea have overperformed this season.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's been and you might get some trophy as well.
And you might get a trophy, yeah. We'll fucking lose that now.
It's been a good season for you.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about West Ham then, Bob?
Fuck Chelsea. Yeah. Good victory secured me a BFC. or an additional BFC. So happy with that. I think it was actually quite a good performance yesterday. We looked quite, other than obviously the three goals, I think we were looking bright, good opportunities coming up. I know it was against Ipswich. Very good goals. Obviously, Bowen set up the first one for Ward-Prowse. Great pass into Ward-Prowse. The Bowen's finish, which again, I think just highlights why he's good, because he's so good at coming in on his left foot and finishing. I think it'd be valuable for England, but you know, it's done now, it's not going to happen, so whatever. I think we didn't have to win that game, obviously, but I think to go out the season with a victory, especially against a team that had been relegated, I was a little bit concerned that we might actually get my man versus AI prediction correct, and it'd be a 1-1 draw, especially when they scored, but we scored quite quickly after them. I think it's the story of our season. Like we kind of expect to beat those teams, but we're not as good as most other teams that you would expect us to be playing against, like the likes of Bournemouth, Brighton, like those kind of teams. You would expect us, really, with the investment that we made in the summer and over the past few years with obviously winning the trophy and that kind of thing, you expect us to be that kind of top 10 team at least. So it's been disappointing and I've really struggled to enjoy it. But at least we won at the end of the season. And like I say, secured me a BFC, 14th in the table. So not the worst finish ever, obviously, because we got relegated before. I think overall the performance yesterday was good. And it's both teams weren't really playing for anything, so it's quite boring, to be honest. Other than the fact that we won.
Do you think there'd be many ins and outs in the summer?
Well, I mean, according to Potter, there will be, but according to the board, there won't be, so... who knows? I think we need a bit of an overhaul. I think that especially defensively, I don't think we look up for it, really. It just looks a bit disorganised. I think we look a bit leggy in midfield as well. We need some pace in there and utilising kind of if Kuda stays. And he actually scored yesterday, which is the first thing he's done.
Another good goal as well.
Yeah.
He didn't really celebrate it though, did he? So I didn't know if that was a kind of telltale thing.
Off he goes.
Probably so. Yeah.
But I think that's been the story of us, with the exception of, you know, like Bowen, when he scored, he always looks up for it. I know.
Because if he doesn't, his fucking father in law's going to clap him.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe everyone in our team needs a father in law that's a big West Ham fan just to give him a kick up the arse. But yeah, I think that's been the story of our season. It just doesn't look, nobody looks like there's no passion there. And I don't know whether it's to do with the fact that I think we resigned very quickly to the fact that it wasn't going to be a very good season for us. And you could see that mid-season. And when Potter came in, I think it gave them, well, we never really got that boost. We didn't get a new manager bounce or anything, really. And in fact, his record has been worse than Lopetegui's when he was around. So it's just been weird and dull, and none of them look up for it. It's such a weird thing for me, because I know I've said loads of times, but that's the one non-negotiable for a player, isn't it? In my opinion, anyway, as a fan, you just want them to be able to give it their all and be up for it and be passionate about it. That's the one non-negotiable. If they lose, then they lose, but you at least want them to be up for it every week, don't you?
I agree.
Yeah. But in terms of what we can do this summer, I don't know, because I really think we need, you know, like 6 or 7 first team players to really make us, you know, start, well, fighting for the Europa Conference position, for example. I really think we need a good 6 or 7 players, mainly in midfield and defence. I think Füllkrug, with his injury, and also we haven't really seen much of Somerville as well, and I really think he would have a good, if he stayed fit, I think it would be a bit different in terms of how I felt about this season, because when he was playing earlier on in the season, he looked like that one kind of bright spark in that position, and was making a lot of opportunities, running at people, that kind of stuff. And we haven't really seen that. I feel like Kudus does do that, but he kind of runs at people kind of aimlessly and then passes like backwards or sideways a lot of the time. Whereas I think Somerville was looking a little bit more, what's the word? Direct. When he was doing that. So yeah, about 6 or 7 players, get them in, sell 6 or 7. I just don't know how we're going to do it though, because we spent over 100 million this summer. So there's not, unless we get rid of a load, we're not going to be able to do much in the summer, I don't think.
You've already got rid of like 4 players and a 3, haven't you? You're not renewing a few contracts, which is pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
And they're tough. All, you'd say they're all first team players as well.
But I think that's exactly what we need. I think we need to get rid of, and but the thing is I just don't know where we're going to get, we need some good recruitment, good players, and hopefully Potter's got the eye for it. I think he's got a very specific way that he wants to play, isn't he? So I'm sure he's got his eye on a few players, but it's just whether we're going to be able to get over the line with them with how much we invested last summer. So
you could, well, Modric's on a free. Imagine that. I think it's for someone like West Ham, like you said, 100 million on your squad, like the bigger teams are spending 100 million on like one player.
Yeah.
But I think for someone like West Ham, it's setting obviously those goals, but having it like, well, okay, where do we need to strengthen up the most? What can help us? Like, well, you've got someone like Antonio, I know you mentioned, like, is he going to go? Is it, you know, what's his average in the last few years in terms of goals? It's like, okay, in his position here, he's scoring like 12 goals a season. Bowen is scoring, how many goals it was? 15, 16 goals? Maybe over
13
Premier League, but like 10 assists still. So, you know, she's still looking at like 23 there in terms of like goals for like your team. Right. Yeah.
Antonio's had a bit of a car crash season.
Yeah, I know. Yes. But for yourself, it could be that, okay, well, you might look at two loans of players to strengthen up the squad, and then buy a couple of players in those areas as well, because there's no way you're going to be able to afford spend another 100 million on players that are going to be decent. And then even looking at youth, is there anyone in the youth squad, not youth, but the under 21s or whatever it is, you know, just coming up now, hitting, knocking on the door?
Yeah, that, to be honest, I did earlier on in the season pay a little bit of interest into our youth teams, and there does seem to be some standout players in there. It's so hard to judge, isn't it? And I suppose that's what Potter and the recruitment staff and that kind of thing are there for, to kind of scout out the ones that are actually going to make a difference to our squad. But I think, yeah, you're probably right. Like, it's finding out. I don't think we're going to be able to do the overhaul because we're just not going to be able to afford it. But if we can get a couple of standout players in there. But then, you know, we say about Antonio, he obviously hasn't been there all season, but it does offer a different... I know he gets a lot of criticism, but I know he doesn't get a lot of goals, but he's such a nuisance when he does come on. I think it allows other people to kind of get involved, and he takes a lot of pressure off of Bowen and that kind of thing. And I don't think we've seen the best of Falkrug yet either, to be honest. And that's why I'm not overly concerned about the striker position, because we do have two strikers.
Well, I mean, is Antonio even going to come back?
Apparently.
Like, he's out of contract as well, though, isn't he? Like, this summer.
Yeah, but I think he will. I don't know. Who knows? But we've still got Falkrug. If he stays fit, I think we're still yet to see the best of him. I think he hasn't really been graced with the best of service in the games that he's played. It's a funny one, as it is. I don't know what else to say, really. Like, I've complained about him all season. I'm just sick of it.
You're in a position, I think, in a position in the league or where your club is at the moment, where you could start playing some youth. Like, you look at teams like Arsenal, as much as I hate to say it, you know, they're really good at bringing their youth through and giving them minutes, be it in the cup or whatnot, and then just being like, oh, fuck me, you know, is it Nouari? I've probably pronounced his name wrong, Clive.
Ethan Nouari, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Lewis Skelly, like, look at him, it looks like he's been there, all, you know, since the beginning. Do you know what I mean? Like, he looks quality. Yeah, okay, some good cards and whatnot.
Got a bit lucky with Lewis Skelly. Like, he was forcing because of injury.
Yeah. But obviously, someone's looked at him still and been like, you know what, he's knocking on the door, is what I'm getting at. You know, like, player that just doing well in the under 21s or whatever, it would have been under 18s, wouldn't it, for him?
But then they're also, like, in those examples, like, they're also coming into a squad that are, you know, a very good squad that are competing for. Like, it's always a bit more of a risk, I think, to bring in these youth players at clubs that are maybe struggling a little bit, because if Potter gets that wrong, for example, we could end up getting relegated.
I mean, you weren't that far off. Same for Tottenham at the moment. You know, we weren't that far off. It's not saying we're in a position now, I think, where next season it's probably just going to be either relegation or you just push it more. I'm not saying you get like five players from your youth and go, fucking ego, and you go. I'm talking you've got pre-season as well. You've got training sessions between now and the start of the season. Yeah. It's to, like, there might be one or two players that are like really, really good. Like, oh, look, let's keep him in the back pocket there. If we can't sign whatever, you know, we've got here and we've got him ready. And I feel like that could work for West Ham, because it's not like your recruitment's been bad. It's just that we haven't seen anyone shine yet in the last few years.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. And we used to be a club that I think probably prided ourselves on our youth academy and that kind of thing. So it would be nice to see that kind of come back, because it's, you know, in the past 10 years, I can't really name anyone.
Do you think that you're going to turn around and be saying Mitchell's catchphrase from this season?
Oh, they're a very young squad.
We've got the youngest squad in the Premier League.
No, I'll never say it. I couldn't contradict myself like that. I'm glad this season's over, to be honest, boys. Like, it's just been an absolute tragedy. And the feeling's gone and you can't go wrong.
Oh, yes.
Anyone else want to ask Bob any West Ham related questions?
I wish I could remember the rest of the trend.
Well done, Bob.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Luke.
You got BFC.
Two BFCs.
Oh, well, that's from Mitchell, but you got BFCs. Oh,
we don't talk about it. And you you finished above a mighty European champion.
That is true.
Pretty much everyone did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you said mighty as well. Yeah, hold on.
The rest
thanks,
of the
Mitch.
League.
It was.
I'll dive into Arsenal. We talk Tottenham last. We'll let Luke have his moment again.
No. There's no moment for this one, but yeah, go on.
Our game was pretty much an end of the season game with two teams with nothing to play for. It was Arteta made a lot of changes to probably give some players a last goodbye, and won a fan favourite in Casey. Who got the first goal, and that was great to see. It is a sad day for Arsenal fans, because although he's not ever going to be down as a legend or a great, he was a fan favourite, and it's just because of his grit, determination, and as you say, effort. The lad, every time he played for Arsenal, 100%. And he had that mad jock about him as well, like when we was playing in the snow. Just shorts and t-shirts for KT, which it just endeared him to the fans. So yeah, it's going to be sad to see him go. But you'd say probably fullbacks, one of the areas we're pretty top loaded in nowadays. If we can keep most of them fit anyway. But Zinchenko as well played, and I can't see him staying at the club this season or next season. So yeah, Nwari got some more minutes as well, and as you're touching on with Nwari, like from the pre-season and the say last season in the youth team, he was the standout player that we kind of thought would get chances this season, and he did, and he's played very well when he has had his chances, and hopefully it gives Arteta more options next season to kind of rotate Odegaard and Saka, because he's naturally a number 10. And he's played him out wide in that kind of Saka role when Saka was injured. But yeah, hopefully we see more of him next season, gets more minutes. Lewis Skelly has been the standout youth player, though, for us by chance. He kind of got chucked into the team. And as you say, Luke, he's had a couple of red cards. And that is just inexperience.
Yeah.
I think the one against West Ham, I think if he handles that situation differently, it's a red card because he pulls him down, but at the same time, if he goes down holding his face, it's probably a free kick to Arsenal. So there's little things like that where he may be too honest and a bit inexperienced for a footballer. But there's a lot to come from him. And as I say, he's been playing out of position all season as well. He's naturally, or he played more of a midfield role in his youth career, so we could yet see even more from him, which would be nice. The other goal, Martin Odegaard shooting from outside the box, who would have thought?
Just lived for the last of the season, you know, last game.
Last couple of games he's had a couple of shots and we've got a couple of goals because of it, funnily enough. It was a cracker. But he has kind of come into a little bit of form right at the end of the season, and I think again that's maybe because he might now be closer to full recovery. So a nice summer off for him and just healing for the squad. Kai Havertz being back was good. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see where we go in the summer. Southampton's goal, poor defending from a set piece. We missed Gabriel and Saliba. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what we do in the summer. Sign a striker, number one. Sign a left attacker, number two. There's rumours of us going in for Emi Martinez again, because Real Madrid are sniffing around David Raya, apparently.
I'd be a mistake getting rid of Raya.
I agree. Some play, certainly Spanish players as well, when Real Madrid come and knock in, or Barcelona come and knock in, they like to force their ways out.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, isn't it, sometimes like that. And it just disrupts the squad as well when they do that. It fucking pisses me off.
So we've got the goalkeeper. We've got to sign a goalkeeper anyway. Just as I say, we've had Neto on loan from Bournemouth. since Ramsdale went. So we at least need a second goalkeeper to come in. Maybe even Fabianski back as well. It could be a return of all the old Arsenal goalkeepers. but yeah, the game was a bit of a nothing game. So yeah, that's really it from a games perspective.
Enough. You mentioned in the game that from a set piece there, because you do. Mm-hmm. I didn't see your squad. So Saliba and Gabriel weren't playing.
No. So the defence was Ben White, Kieran Tierney, Kirior, and Zinchenko.
Well, I guess I'm fair enough because you rested some players. What do you reckon is going to happen then if, obviously, you probably see Zinchenko leaving? Is it Tierney's going to go, isn't he?
Yep.
All gone. Is he going?
He's apparently pre-contract with Celtic. He's going
back. Okay. Fair enough. And then, but your centre-backs, do you reckon, obviously, because if Saliba Gabriel goes out, you're going to need someone to come in that's going to do exactly the same job.
It's all down to who we can keep fit. Because if we had a fully fit squad, the possibilities for centre-half are Ben White, Saliba, Gabriel, Kirior, Calafiori, Tomiyasu.
Okay,
which is enough cover, right? Yeah. If they all stay fit. And that gives us Tomiyasu can play left back, right back. Ben White can play right back. Gabriel Saliba, obviously both centre halves. Kirior can play left back and centre half as well. Calafiori left back and centre half. And then Lewis Skelly left back as well. Jurrien Timber can play left back and centre half. So that without a bit of bad luck again, I think we should be okay in the centre half position and fullback position, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Well, having cover's good, don't get me wrong, but you want that quality there. Like, what I'm getting at is, like, if you take Gabriel out, you want someone just as good as Gabriel to stand centre. You know, you put Ben White in there, he's nowhere near as good.
It's hard to have someone just as good.
That's what I think is going to get you over that line, Clive. I think having someone in there that Gabriel steps out, you've got this top
sitting
end
on the bench.
No, I'm not talking
exactly
like
that.
And but this is the rotation. You're going to be in so many cups next season. Like,
that's where I think if Tomiyasu ever makes another appearance, I don't know what happened, what injury it is. I've got no idea. But Tomiyasu can play there. Calafiori can play there and Timber can certainly play there. I think Arsenal are a lot weaker without Gabriel. I think we'd probably miss Gabriel more than Saliba, if I'm perfectly honest. So he's a harder one to replace. But I think it would be, without going and spending 100 million on a centre half, I don't know who you could have that's just a little bit worse than Gabriel or at the same quality as Gabriel. And I think any team in the Premier League, if you look at City or Liverpool, if their main defender is out, there's that percentage drop, right? And we have seen the last few weeks, and I've said it a couple of times, like Kirior has done a good job, but something else happens when Gabriel's not there, and it's concentration levels, it's leadership.
Yeah.
The rest of the back four don't have that same strength. I don't think it's quite as easy as getting someone as good as Gabriel. And I don't think, as I said last week, I don't think the defence is the issue. Even with Gabriel out, we still concede very few goals. Yeah. I think we could see less than one goal a game on average. So I think we are so well organised and so well drilled. If we had a bit more up top and a bit more attacking, we'd probably not notice the defence as much, in my honest opinion. And
as I say, the other team's half most of the time. Yeah.
Without all the injuries that we've had in defence this season, I think we've got good enough cover. I really do. We've just got to not be unlucky, shall we say.
Yeah, no, it's tough.
Yeah. But midfield, I think we still need someone attacking left. Thomas Partey, we either need to sort the contract out or look for his replacement. He will be a big miss if we don't replace him, because Mourinho is kind of similar to what Granit Xhaka was. Not an out and out defensive midfielder. And we kind of seen how good Declan Rice can be at the number eight this year. So we kind of want to keep playing him in that position where he can get further forward and make things happen in front of goal.
Yeah, he's just a nuisance as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got such an engine on him. He's up and down the pitch. And as I say, he's kind of come to season late with some goals. So, yeah, we kind of want to keep him up the pitch. So, yeah. And then the striker. The striker is the one we are desperate. And if we don't go and spend 60 to 120 million on strikers, then I think we're stupid.
And we'll probably be fighting you for those strikers you're going for. It's going to be competition to try and get them.
It's the most coveted position in the Premier League. Like, you can't imagine United. I know United probably haven't got as much power in the market now because of their position in the league and not having Champions League or any European football. But they've still got, well, apparently they've still got money in the bank. I wouldn't even say that anymore. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of teams going for strikers. So it's going to be... And if Newcastle sell Isaac to someone, they'll be in the market as well. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting summer in that sense. If you believe the rumours, we've had the green light to go and sign Benjamin Sesko, and the clubs have agreed a deal already. So, yeah, we might be getting our business done early, which
that
we do.
That makes sense, because you need to.
Yeah, usually we do that for the marquee signing and then don't announce it until God knows when. But yeah, that's the position. That's the obvious position now. I think they said on Match of the Day, and it's quite well known, their top goal scorer in the Premier League this season has got 9 goals.
Yeah.
So to finish second with a top goal scorer of 9 goals, again, that's a mini miracle. So. Yeah, what a sad end to the season.
What a great end to the season.
Well done, Arsenal.
there's a catch here.
No. Well done. You know, consistent. I like it.
You guys consistent. They love a second place finish.
You said it, not me. I just said they're consistent.
Right, let's talk about the Tottenham then.
Talking about consistency, eh?
Definitely consistent in the league.
Consistent in the league. Oh, dear. How do we start this? Oh, okay. Tottenham are shit. In the league, should we say.
Well, Ange out again.
It's typical Ange, though. It's reaction. I hate reaction managers. I get it. When you go 1-0 down, 2-0 down, whatever it is, you bring on the subs. But you know when you're watching a game, I didn't watch this game, but you know when you're, like, I was looking at the Sky Sports stuff, yeah? And you could see it where it's like, oh yeah, Brighton, it looked like they're coming, they're blah, 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 they're doing this, there. And I'm sitting there like, oh, when's he making a sub? Like, if they were all over us in the first half, and then the start of the second half, and the same squad comes out, and it's still like that 10 minutes in, make the fucking changes. Just make the changes.
What kind of squad did he start with? Was it a weakened squad? Did he?
Sort of. It wasn't. I mean, I get it. There's probably still some lag over from the parade.
Getting on the piss.
Yeah. But yeah. Because let me read out the team. So it's a strong team, Clive. So Vicario in goal. Porro, right back. Danzo van der Ven. Udogi. Gray was in midfield, which I don't rate in midfield at the moment. I think he's still too young to be playing that position. He hasn't cemented himself in there yet. Bentancur, Saar, Johnson, Solanke, Tell. Like, it's a strong squad.
So there's a couple of positions that you're missing, like Romero, but
yeah, you know,
and maybe a midfield. Like, you're missing an attacking midfielder, aren't you?
Yeah, really? Well, that was the problem with the United game, that people forgot to obviously highlight. Some people did. Like, we actually had 3 of our attacking players out in that game. But it's the same for this. Like, we've got no attacking midfield player that's going to put a split passing sort of thing over top, or you know, through ball in. We've got no one like that at the moment because everyone's injured. So it's tough. But yeah, and then second half, 66th minute, Bissouma come on, and as usual, like Bissouma, he's been playing well last few games, but he went back to his usual self again, like giving away a penalty in the box. It's just, I don't know what goes through his head. Like, why have you got to make these challenges? It's just so stupid of him. Richarlison, Spence come on, didn't really get time to do much. Come on the 83rd minute and we were already losing then. Odegaard come on at half time. So he did make obviously a change then, which was for Sarr. So he went a bit more attacking. But Davies come on at 60. But you're looking at the bench. Richarlison, fair play. Bissouma on his day is amazing. Spence, too late. Odegaard still trying to get minutes in. And Ben Davies. I look at our bench. It's just like, we've got no one there that I'm like, who's going to be a game changer in the team for next season? I think Odegaard would be decent. I know Kulusevski will be back, Maddison will be back in the squad there. It's not good, mate. We are shocking defensively, and that game again was bad. Brighton were just a better team, you know, and they've been good all season. They always tend to beat us anyway.
So where do you think you need to spend the money in the summer?
For the squad? Oh, fuck me. Poor Clive, that's a good question. Where would I see it? I know you asked this last week, the week before.
Son going, is he staying?
I think Son...
He will stay because of the money he brings in shirts.
Yeah, I think they'll renew his contract for another year because I think it's running out. But I think he'd be a bench player. I can't imagine him starting. I think Son's now going to be like impact player for us for next season. I don't know about Tell. I don't know if he's going to stay. I haven't seen much of him to say that he's going to be the 50, 60 million, whatever he's worth for Tottenham.
From what I've seen, I don't think he's the answer for
you. No, funny enough, Werner did better than him when he played. Just couldn't put him in the back of the net. But in terms of like taking on players, getting assists, he did all right, but he got injured. He'd been injured most of the season. But he looked good. Players like that is what I like to see. You know, they're literally knackering out the fullbacks, stopping them from getting forward as well, because you don't want to leave him on his own, because he's going to beat any player at the back there. There's not many players that are going to catch up with Werner. It's just too bad, like I said, he can't finish. but he's still dangerous, a dangerous player. And Kulusevski is always a nuisance regardless of wherever he plays. He was probably our best player.
So one of the things I've learned over this podcast throughout the season, and stop me if I'm wrong, anyone, Tottenham have the quickest players ever in the Premier League in every position.
I mean, Van der Ven is...
No one's catching any one of them anyway.
Van der Ven has already proven that he's the fastest player in the league. I think Jeff Spence is on that list. I mean, if you want to go there, I mean, pretty much, to be fair, Clive, but let's be honest. Like, it's all well good having quick players, but if you can't defend for nothing...
Is that why you finished 17th? You all just run forward.
It's just
really
all run.
Who's in defence?
It's when me and you used to play, Clive. Me and Clive used to play FIFA. Back in the day, it's like Theo Walcott used to play on the wing, and I used to be like, put Aaron Lennon left back just so he could catch Theo Walcott. I mean, you got to do it, didn't you?
Interrupt you.
You got, no, that's fine.
Keep
going with
your shopping list.
So, yeah, the shopping list, Clive, mate, honestly, I want to keep Bentancur. I think he's been brilliant for us. I think he's showing how good he is to mop up the play, and he's very good there. It'd be nice to see him get forward a bit more, but I think he's just so good at interceptions that he's good to sit in there. Look, I'd like to have a world-class midfield player, attacking midfield player. I think we've got enough defensive midfield players as it is, but a world-class...
Oh, Mason Mount.
Do you think you could... At this current moment, do you think world-class would be attracted to Tottenham?
I probably won't take world-class. Okay, I'll take class, to be fair. I agree with you, Clive. It's not. Only Champions League football is going to bring it in. And the only way that's going to work is probably January.
So, look, I look at a couple of teams in the Premier League, and I think those Crystal Palace being one of them, Elise and Sam Johnson, whatever his name is, the midfielder.
Not Elise. You were talking about Eze.
Eze went to...
Eze would be great at Tottenham. I'd love to see him in a top kit. But
why would he downgrade?
I don't know. You're not wrong. No, I think for Champions League football, we could bring him. but I feel like bigger clubs will probably come in for him. And it sucks for me to say that now. I mean, you know, Spurs used to do a bit of time. We'd be like, oh, you know, Champions League football every year. We'd come to Tottenham. But now it's shit. You know, we've got Champions League football, but does that mean we're going to get it next season if we don't do well in the league? And Tottenham are now fighting on all fronts next season when teams like Man United are not. They've just got the one, which is the Premier League, which means that now they can just focus on every week playing at the weekend. And
I mean, United have... I don't think United are going to be a worry for a few years now.
I don't, but because they can still attract players, they can still pay the £300,000.
I don't think they can at the moment.
I know there's talk
they're making,
of it saying
God
that they
knows
can't.
How many people redundant?
Something will happen. Just look at this season. Weird things will just happen. And there's son Cunha as well now, or getting Cunha. So like I said, players will still go to United. You know, even if they want to sit on whatever amount of money for God knows how long. But for shopping list, Clive, I think a striker. I think so. I like Richarlison on the left. I think Richarlison now, that's his position. I don't think centre forward is his position. I think Richarlison on the left, good work rate down there, and he's tricky as hell, and he's a decent player, and he's good in the box. So I like him there. I think another striker, because Solanke just tends to run his arse off.
Another Palace player, Mateta.
Who, sorry?
Mateta.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just, is he good enough for Tottenham? Like, we need a striker that's going to bang in 20 goals a season, and Solanke's not that.
He was that before he went to you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you're not wrong. Like yourself, Clive, if we can keep players fit, Kuzeski's fit, Maddison fit, Bergvall fit, I feel like our attacking team, it's not like we haven't scored goals this season. Like, we've been banging them in. We just keep conceding. So strengthening up the defence and the midfield and to keep our attacking players fit. If Postecoglou stays, then he needs to change his ways. He needs to rotate players. He needs to go, okay, Carling Cup, don't give a fuck about. Our first team players do not play in the Carling Cup. It is a giveaway cup. I know Spurs, you could argue now, Clive, you know, Spurs still need to win a trophy. We've got the European trophy now. We can now fuck that and go Champions League. You know, we don't need to play players in the Carling Cup, first team players, because it's just another what? We get, what, third round you start off in or something like that, second round?
Yeah, and third then, round, yeah.
And then, like, say we get someone simple, we play them, or if it goes to a replay, do they not do that no more?
They change it every year, so yeah. I think it goes straight to penalties in the early rounds now.
Gotcha. That makes sense then. So, but still, it's going to be more extra time, and if we play the first... Yeah, so strengthen up a little bit in the fence, and I think get rid of some of the dead wood now at Spurs, and start strengthening up, but hopefully be smart about it and not just go and buy, you know, whoever it is just for the sake of it, because we need to bring someone in.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat in regards to there needs to be recruitment for improvement. You getting Champions League football through winning the trophy has really kind of saved you, because if you didn't have it, I don't know who you'd be able to sign, who you'd be able to attract. So yeah, it's kind of unfortunately saved your season completely.
Yeah, well, it depends on whoever we get now. If Ange stays till Christmas or he gets rid of Ange before the season starts,
you heard what he said though, Ange, didn't you?
He said something about
always getting better.
Yeah.
But then he did respond in an interview and went, well, sometimes they kill off the main character. he's a funny manager. I give him that, and he's had a lot of sticks. So give him his moment, you know, to clap back at people, because, you know, everyone just, you know, wrote him off at the beginning of the season and was like, look, mate, you know, you're saying this, Spurs ain't won a trophy in 17 years, and he believed it, and you know, give him credit where it's due. But in the league, we've got Champions League football now. I assume Levy and then all the ball and everyone else in the background are like, look, we can only compete in the Champions League and either, obviously, less chance of us winning it and doing the group phase, but we want to compete in it, but we also want it again next season. You know, so they have to start either investing in more, or Levy just needs to be like, fuck it, we're going to go all in. All in now on the Premier League and the Champions League. But I can't see it.
Do that.
No, I can't see it.
I still don't see you having the funds. Like, I know the Champions League's a £100 million competition, right? You secured that funding, but I just don't see, because of the stadium, I still don't see you being able to really compete in the transfer market against the other clubs in the Champions League at the moment.
No, I think
stop short of saying bigger clubs.
I know what you're saying. I think Levy can sometimes pull out money out of his arse, and I've seen him do it a few times. But it's a case of just pulling it out and being like, well, okay, the expectations of what you get, if you get past the group phase, it is like 100 million or 90 million or something like overall or something like that. Someone was talking about it the other week, and they mentioned that's how much you get when getting up to that group phase, and it's like however much money you win every time you win or draw or lose or whatever it is. Like, he gets right out of that group lot and wins games, that's like 90 million there. Plus the money, obviously, winning the cup as well. And if we get rid of anyone or sell anyone, there's maybe some money coming in. But I know Levy can go, okay, let me just grab a little bit of funds here from the Beyonce thing, you know, and we just buy that one player or a couple of players that Ange wants that's going to strengthen us up for top four. But we're competing now against teams that Chelsea now coming in who have got money that will want to strengthen up. Man City don't want to have another season like this season. Arsenal obviously need a few players to strengthen up. Liverpool, they've kept Van Dijk and Salah, so I'm scared for next season. It's going to be tough. And Newcastle, you know, Newcastle are there as well. They're going to be strengthening up, so it is going to be tough for everyone now. For players, it all depends on the managers that can bring the players.
It's going to also PSR. And all of the financial kind of constraints. Yeah. So that would be interesting to see.
I don't think we'll have a problem with that.
No, I don't think you will, because I think you post a lot of profit. I just think a lot of that is going to paying off the debt of the stadium, though. That's where I think Tottenham will struggle a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But what a crazy season.
Bonkers.
It's been awful.
Yeah. Let's go into Man versus AI from last time for the season, shall we?
I'll fuck you all on that. I mean, I still would have lost. It wouldn't have made
you
any difference.
You fucked us all on that.
No, I didn't fuck you all up.
I changed it. The points difference between us and AI is you.
No. I changed it at the end. Yeah, so that counts for all the times I didn't change it.
No.
It definitely does.
You factors.
Told you, it's like golden goal. You know, it's changed now. Done.
I mean, we convinced you.
We're in it together. All right.
We convinced you to change. And we actually got 1 point for you.
Yeah.
Because of that change.
Say, you're welcome.
What?
You're welcome for me changing.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you so much.
That's okay. That's one more point than I've had in a while.
Noise, please, Mitchell. Man versus AI. Boo of Ruby.
I fouled last week so bad.
Yes, you did.
Funny. I couldn't stop laughing.
you've got less points than Southampton, Luke. That is fucking outrageous.
All right, so let's go through it. AI predicted a 2-1 West Ham win, got 1 point. It predicted a 1-1 Forest Chelsea, got 0 points. Predicted Arsenal to beat Southampton 2-0, got 1 point. Predicted Tottenham and Brighton to draw, got 1 point. Total 2 points, which means...
we got fucked.
We couldn't beat AI.
Oh, fuck you, Mitchell.
Bob predicted 1-1, got 0 points. Clive predicted 1-1, got 0 points. Mitchell predicted 2-1, got 1 point. Luke predicted a loss.
And
got 1 point.
Yeah.
So, Mitchell wins the player league.
Well done, Mitchell.
30 points. Joint second is Clive and Bob. And in fourth is Luke.
Bees with 4 seats. Bob won second.
AI finished on 96 points. Oh. Humans finished on 85 points.
It's not that bad.
And I will push as to what Mitchell just said. If you had averaged the same as everyone else,
nothing wrong with being
21.25 points. We would have won.
You did, Luke.
You are the reason we lost.
You can blame Ange, yeah?
No.
But my prediction for Liverpool winning the league right at the beginning counts for double points.
Oh, fuck
so
off.
So I'm just saying.
It does not.
It does, definitely counts for double points. Great prediction. So
we will have you drawing names from a hat at some point, Luke.
We'll draw what? Yeah, draw names for one of you guys to wear, what, socks?
For you to wear some kind of item of clothing from another football team.
Okay, I'm sure I can wear a cap for something.
We'll get you an Arsenal bikini.
Don't be silly.
But we'll talk about that offline. But yeah, it was a banging idea, Bob, and we'll bring it back for second season.
Oh, thank you. It's
going to
be a struggle because I thought of
no. Bob, don't worry. Luke's got them all. Luke's got them all.
I've got them all.
Week games.
Guys, expect something brilliant next season. Expect something brilliant. Yeah. And I'm not talking about Spurs' champions winning. I'm lost for words, mate, because this season's been shit. Such a shit season. It was some silver lining, but God, guys, next season we're going to beat AI. That's a given.
What, you need to start predicting losses?
Tottenham can't lose 21 games.
I know,
games,
right? So come on, that's a bit unfair, isn't it? Like, I weren't expecting this. You know, I don't think anyone was expecting this.
I mean, there was a pattern, though.
Yeah, the pattern is it doesn't matter what I put down. Spurs will just do the opposite.
Just stop predicting wins.
Yeah. You haven't won a game since April.
If you predicted losses with that mentality, Luke, you might have won some games.
That's because Tottenham haven't won a game since April. That's not my fault. April.
You shit fuck. Just predict a loss.
I can't. I did predict, didn't I? Right at the end there.
Because we convinced you.
It's a team effort, guys. When we win together, we lose together. All right? So it's not just my fault. It's everyone's fault.
It's mainly your fault, though.
No. It's everyone's fault. This is a team game. Yeah.
It's mainly your fault.
Yeah. We're friends here.
Yeah. So that's a wrap for season one of Londoners, I guess.
Well, thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you very much.
I can't believe we made it. Yes. Yeah. I can't believe we actually made.
Well, only me and Luke made it.
That's also true. Yeah, we did, Mitchell. 100%.
You still don't get extra points, Luke. Don't get too excited.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mitchell. Thank
you, Luke. I thought you'd ended it with that. Thanks, Bob. Lovely.
And thank you for Tom and Lee for filling in for me and Bob.
Cheers, Tom and Lee.
And thank you, Mike.
Oh, yes. Mike. Oh,
yeah. The biggest thank you, Mike.
The one and only. Let's give him a clap.
And thank you.
That was my arse cheeks for you, Mike. That was my arse cheeks.
Thank you.
Clive.
Nah, don't think
Clive.
That.
No, yeah, fuck Clive. Yeah, fucking space. Hell.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, fuck Clive, actually.
Fuck Clive.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm going to have the last word.
Of course he is.
London
fuck Tottenham.
Oh.